Hey everybody, it's Tracy with the Hashtag Fish Life podcast. Thank you for joining in today, tonight, whenever you're listening, I appreciate it. And whatever platform you're on, thanks for checking me out. I really do love it to know that people are actually listening out there. This month is really important. It is September. Happy September 2019. As promised, when I originally went over topics back in the beginning of May, when I started this whole shindig, Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month is September. It's also Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. So I don't want to discredit that, but I don't personally have experience with that, but I personally have experience with ovarian cancer. As you may have picked up if you're a listener from the very beginning, or even just kind of spot listened here and there, I am an ovarian cancer survivor and current fighter. I have been diagnosed 3 times now since April of 2017, having been in remission one of those times and then being diagnosed from November 2018 to July of 2019 twice. Really with no downtime in between. Honestly, it was the last day of, I had my very last chemo, and then the following day they called me and said, yeah, what, we biopsied at your appointment the other day. Guess what? There's more cancer. So, I've really kind of been through the ringer with that, but September is going to be all about ovarian cancer awareness. Now, fellas, this does not exclude you. This actually, if anything, gives you more ammunition and education so that the women in your life can be on alert. I don't want to scare anyone. I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to put fear into you. But I will say that ovarian cancer is scary. One of the things that makes it very scary is that the symptoms are very easily confused for lesser issues. For instance, the top 4 symptoms include bloating. They include feeling full and eating less, as if you've been eating and eating and eating when you really haven't. There's also a urinary side effect or symptom, which is that you feel like you have to go to the bathroom all the time. And then the abdominal pain or pelvic pain. A lot of times, ladies, we can misconstrue the symptoms of ovarian cancer as menstrual symptoms or, you know, just normal aches and pains. Women, I urge you to get to know your body. I'm not instigating the 70s notion of getting out a mirror and squatting. But hey, if that's what you got to do, you got to do it, right? I'm literally just asking that you know your body. Keep track of your cycles. Keep track of your flow. If you notice that there's a change in that, that's a really good question to bring up to your doctor. Another thing I really encourage is have a relationship with your OB-GYN or your feminine healthcare provider. Maybe you see a doula. Maybe you see an RN. Maybe you see an OB-GYN. Maybe you just see. construed as period symptoms or menstrual cycle symptoms. For me, being diagnosed in April of 2017, I routinely had ovarian cysts. And I remember distinctly looking at my husband and saying, oh my God, if it's another cyst, just take them out. I don't need them. We've got five kids. We're done. We're finished. Take them out. I didn't really mean that. But the universe, as it is, said, no, you meant it. We're doing it. What happened is, and if you listen to my last podcast, there's a very good explanation of how I was diagnosed and the process that we did that first week. We really were escorted very quickly through the initial process. I remember talking to one of my, or we were in a group chat the day after I was diagnosed, and we were supposed to go out. My girlfriends and I were supposed to go out for a mom's night, and we were going to get away and just have some fun. And I was like, sorry, ladies, can't go have the cancer or something along those lines. And I remember getting responses like, hey, that's really not funny. You know, if you don't want to go, just say you don't want. absolutely need done. It just made sense to me. There was a level of control that I lost when I went in and had what's called a debulking hysterectomy. And that means that I have no ovaries, I have no uterus, I have no fallopian tubes, I have no cervix. They had to make one for me, and it's called a vaginal cuff. I have all these things that, basically these decisions that were made for me that I had no say in whatsoever. And so I lost this control, and I'm a very large control freak. I like organization. I really love knowing that things are where they belong. And having the ability to sit down and plan my own service gave me this level of control that I just didn't have. You know, I didn't have, between my ankle and my chemo at that time, I didn't have any control. I couldn't drive myself anywhere because it was my right leg. I couldn't, you know, just go to work. There were all these things that I couldn't do. And yet again, I was housebound, as I was in April of 2017 through August of 2017. Housebound. I could not leave. I couldn't be with my children by myself because there were things I just basically couldn't do for them. And I had this feeling of lost control. When my body, basically, I always use the hashtag, my vagina tried to kill me. Because it did. You know, my lack of control over that situation was just immense. Before I started losing my hair from the first round of chemo in 2017, it started falling out. And so my husband and I, we cut it shorter. And then when I knew it was leaving for good, I shaved it. I wanted that control. I wanted to be able to say, hey, it didn't fall out. I took care of it. Because I needed that. I needed that small little bit of control. You're helpless in these situations. And I really feel like media does a poor job at showing us exactly what a cancer patient looks like. If you watch commercials that are dealing with anything cancer related, whether it's, you know, the Neulasta commercial where the lady goes and gets like the little block that boosts her white blood count, and then like the day after she's at the movies. That's some bullshit, people. Let me just tell you right now, you do not feel like going to the goddamn movies, pardon me, the day after you have chemo. You don't feel like eating the day you come home from chemo. You're lucky if you can make it to the bathroom in time. How dare this company that is promoting a medicine geared towards people with diseases that require toxins to be put into their bodies, how dare they market it in a fashion that makes it seem like you are going to be back to yourself? The reality of it is that commercial should depict a woman who just wants to curl up in a ball. It should look more like an antidepressant commercial than it should, you know, something else. It should be like the before commercial, the before part of the antidepressant commercial. That's the quite honest truth, is that when you get out of chemo, 9 times out of 10, you sleep through the first 2-3 hours. And then once they start putting in the final dose of stuff, you kind of jolt awake. And you're kind of brought back into this reality that's so foggy and so hazy, and you can't exactly form a sentence, let alone think about what showing you want to go to of the newest chick flick the next day with your lovey-dovey. It's just not a real thing. You know, chemotherapy is essentially pumping your body full of prescription toxins. And for a week, your body is dealing with how to get rid of it. Now, not everybody goes that way. But I'm going to tell you that most of my friends that I have made on social media through using hashtags, specifically on Instagram, I have a lot of people that we kind of go back and forth with on Instagram that have been ovarian cancer fighters, survivors, children of, spouses of. This is a typical week after. Like, if I got chemo on Thursday, I wouldn't feel better till the next Thursday. But I wouldn't feel like absolute shit until about Saturday. Friday night into Saturday. And then forget it, all bets are off. Nothing tastes good. The only taste I could handle was strawberry. I only wanted sodas. I only wanted sweet foods, because sweet foods kind of took away the bitterness. I discovered this time around that I liked strawberry cream soda. So that helped because I could get that. But by Saturday night, I just wanted to be in bed for the next 3 days. But then your body goes through the process of detox, where you've basically cut it off from this chemical and it's in your body for a few days. But then when it starts to detox, forget it. You can't leave the house because you're attached to the toilet bowl. In one fashion or another. It's either coming out of the attic or it's coming out of the basement. There's no two ways. It doesn't matter how many Phenergans or Zofrans you get, you're nauseous. Soup tastes nasty. Potato chips taste good. Salt tastes good. Alcohol tastes good. It's very odd, these things that taste good. But the last thing you want to do, whether your white blood counts leave your body or if they stay high, is to go to the damn movie theater. I can't tell you how annoying it is to see the depiction of cancer patients as these happy-go-lucky people, when I'm going to tell you right now, we're not all like that. That's the exception more than the rule, I think. I actually get credited a lot on my Facebook page, my personal page, as being really positive and so upbeat. And I don't know how you do it. And I'm just so amazed at how pleasant you are about stuff. And, you know, you keep us going and you say all these really positive things and you're an inspiration. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't feel like I am for one iota of a second. I feel like I put on a really good front, because that's what's expected of me. I feel like, you know, my kids need to see a happy person. People around me need to see a happy person. The last thing I want is somebody to dwell on the fact that I have cancer. I don't want anybody coming up to me at the grocery store and talking to me about it. One of the little boys at work today, he said, "How come your hair fell out last time?" Because he remembered. And I'm fine with that because they don't know. But I don't want to hear about the person. When I'm picking up medicine at the pharmacy, I don't want to hear the person behind me say, "Oh, what kind of cancer do you have? Oh, my sister-in-law passed away from that. I sure hope you don't." People are ignorant. They don't know. They don't know how to close their mouths and stop talking. Sometimes they think they're doing a really nice thing. And then other times, they're just really, really out of line. You know, sometimes it's appreciated, and sometimes you need to learn to STFU and just out of my face. And I'm sorry to be so kind of hatey about this, but, or like hate filled about it, but it's annoying to know that people want to share their stories of devastation with me when I'm trying to keep my life. Like, when I'm literally trying to keep my head afloat so that I can present this outlook for my kids, but yet you want to tell me about your sister-in-law that passed away, you know, and she was about my age, and, you know, she had a lot of kids too. I don't understand how that's helpful. So back to the media portrayal of cancer patients. Another thing I want to bring out is that certain cancers get the spotlight a lot. I bet you didn't even know that this month was also childhood cancer awareness. I bet you didn't. I bet you didn't even know it was ovarian cancer awareness month, except for the fact that I brought it up. Because not all cancers are pink. I don't mind saying that. And I also don't mind posting pink ribbons. But when you depict a cancerous woman, a woman is a cancer patient. I don't like the way that sounded. When you depict her with having a headscarf and wearing all pink pajamas and, you know, just kind of looking sleepy, that's just not going to work for me. You know, we need to do a more honest depiction, because I feel like one of the problems with cancer is that we haven't cured it yet. Pancreatic cancer is a horrible version of cancer that there's nothing really that helps so far. And, you know, if we depicted cancer as troubling as we depicted erectile dysfunction, we'd probably have a cure within the next 5 to 10 years. And who's to say we don't have a cure that just hasn't been brought out? Who's to say that there isn't one there? Here's my conspiracy theory side of things. Who's to say that there isn't a cure for cancers or something that would begin eliminating the cells, or something that we can do to identify the genes better? Now, I know there's BRCA testing, and for those who aren't familiar, BRCA, B-R-C-A, there are BRCA1 and BRCA2, and those are genes that carry the predisposition to have the cancer cell mutation, basically. So if you have those, if you have BRCA1 or 2 or both, which I don't think is very common, if at all possible. I am not BRCA positive, so I don't know anything about it besides the fact that I'm not BRCA positive. You know, when you have that, we've already identified that the BRCA gene mutation is there, and it's a thing, and I don't know why we can't use that to our benefit to make cancer a thing of the past. This is going to be a very feisty month's worth of podcasts. I'm not even going to lie to you right now. I am overwhelmingly amped about ovarian cancer. Doesn't help that I just came from my 4th radiation out of 12. So that means I'm a third of the way through. So silver lining, right? But, you know, ovarian cancer's taken a lot of things from me. It's taken the ability to do a lot of things for myself. It's taken a lot out of my relationship with my husband. We are nowhere near where we were 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It's disgusting, honestly. We have a lot of anger between each other. And it hurts. It really doesn't do anything for us. But it really started with the diagnosis, and it really started with all that. It could have been there, but, you know, it really started with the diagnosis. It started shortly after that, and it sucks. We've been together, it'll be 9 years in a couple of weeks, and to know that the last 2.5 years have been nothing but hate and just meanness. And it's all because of this damn disease. Not all, maybe, but a lot of it is. My oldest daughter is afraid to make connections with people because she doesn't want to lose them. She's afraid to lose me. So she puts up a wall around me. My oldest son, on a positive note, his eyes are really opened to the community that we have around us. We were adopted in 2017, Christmas time, by the American Cancer Society. We were extremely fortunate as we were a one-income house. I actually got fired during my first round of chemo when I was diagnosed because, according to the company, their mere responsibility, according to the FMLA Act, was to keep me on for 13 weeks, and after that, they had no responsibility. While that's true, I wasn't on payroll. They had already paid out my vacation time, and I wasn't getting benefits. And a company that has a hard time hiring people shouldn't be letting them go. And I, you know, I get that they have to keep moving, but how are you going to fire a cancer patient? Honestly, seriously. Now I've gone off on a tangent. You know, my daughter doesn't want to form a bond. My 15-year-old, his mom had ovarian cancer 2 years before I did. So both the moms in his life have struggled with this. If nothing else, he is more aware of the fact that this is a thing. And You know, the odds that both his mom and his stepmom were diagnosed within years of each other is pretty drastic. My youngest daughter just hates when I leave. She doesn't like it when I go away. She doesn't like it when I leave the house. It took almost a year for her to get into the notion that just because I was going to the doctor didn't mean I wasn't coming home, because I spent so much time that first year in and out of the hospital, specifically that first month. So, you know, it's difficult when you have kids in the mix. And you can't blame them for feeling this way. But this disease sucks. Not for only the patient, but for everyone that supports that person. It's just a bunch of shit. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and complain the whole month on these events here, these podcasts. But I'm not going to be, yip, yip, hooray, this is Cancer Awareness Month. Look, I'm aware of it. I get it. It sucks. But I am going to bring you new ways to teach yourself. I am going to bring you new ways to educate the women in your lives and to encourage them to be aware of problems that could occur and reasons to talk to their doctor. So step one for this week is that I urge you to make sure that you know your body. If you're still having a cycle, write it down. Be aware of when it starts and when it stops. And if you have something that goes over or under your normal, and that's not normal, then a call to your OB-GYN, your gynecologist, your registered nurse, whomever you see for your feminine care needs, a call to them is in order. Point blank. Anything abnormal that happens with your cycle is a need for a call. So I urge you to learn your body. That's going to be like your September, your first podcast of September awareness, ovarian cancer awareness homework is to know your body. Ladies, for those of us not having cycles, myself included, if for some reason you start bleeding or spotting, call the damn doctor. That's not normal either. If you're having problems where you're feeling bloated, if you feel full even though you haven't eaten a lot, if you have to go to the bathroom a lot, and you know, like you feel like you just went, like if you've been pregnant and you feel like you're peeing like you were when you were 9 months pregnant, that's a problem. Call the doctor. You know, there's a lot of things that you can be doing to be proactive, and I encourage you to do it. So that's been today's rant. I'm extremely passionate about ovarian cancer, but not in the, oh, I love it kind of way. More of the freaking hate it, and I want others to know how much I hate it, but I also want them to be educated kind of way. So that being said, I want you to do something good for someone this week. I am putting together gift baskets for the patients that attend the center where I went and got my chemo. I'm putting those together because I remember getting those and I know how much they mean. So that's something we're doing. I want you to hold the door for someone. Tell them you like their shirt. But I want you to mean it when you do it. Put a smile on your face. Put a smile on their face. You really don't know when they need it, to be honest. You don't know how much that could make their day. So I just urge you to do that. Have a fantastic rest of your week. Whenever you're listening to this, I appreciate you sticking with me. 3 listeners last time. I know last time was probably kind of boring. But this is a new month. It's a new topic. And there's some new fire going on. So have a fantastic rest of your week. I look forward to speaking to you soon. I will talk to you all later. Bye, guys.